Wallawani. Welcome to Earth Matters, environment social justice stories from Australia and around the world, produced at the studios of 3CR on Wurundjeri country in Naam, Melbourne, and broadcast across this continent via the Community Radio Network. I'm your show host, Beck Horridge, and I do pay respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Today's show was made in Gadigal, Sydney, on Wangal country, the lands of the people of the Eora Nations,
and on Yuin country in Milton, New South Wales.
As members of the Family Council, said no, you can't have that mine, it's going to destroy our sacred site. And this is why I keep doing this. So why do you keep doing this? Why do you want to stop that mine? It's not because it's like a coal and it's burning it and it's affecting the atmosphere. It's because it's going to affect the sacred site, which in turn is going to affect all of us, all of our lives. So this is why we do it.
Adrian Baragaba on his right to protect Dungmabula Springs near the Adani coal mine site. And he'll be on soon after we hear from his son, cultural custodian, Wangang and Jagalingu man, Gurijala, the man who's been occupying his land, Wadanangu, in defiance of the Carmichael coal mine. Gurijala has talked before on Earth Matters about water as sovereign, and here he talks about how the occupation of Wadanangu started and was first maintained. Then we'll hear his dad, Adrian Baragaba, making a most precipitous and exciting announcement that a court case called to protect ancient springs near the mine site has been reopened. Here's Gurijala.
Adrian's son. I've been out in the bush for a fair few months now, about 1,617 days to be exact. Our fires still continuing to burn there. You know, when we first started, I had no idea of how long it was going to last for. But we'd set up a fire right opposite the open cut coal face. And so we lit this fire on top of this burnt wall and we said, okay, well, let's make three rules. One, the fire always has to stay lit. Two, there's no foreign objects inside the circle. And three, there's always one Wadanangu person inside the circle at all times. So 408 days, one of our family members sat inside that circle, rain, hail, shine, no roof over the top, and just keeping the fire going in that area to basically prove pure occupation. And then it turned from 408 days to taking that rule away of having one person in the circle and just having the fire always going and no foreign objects inside the circle. So for 1,617 days, we've been keeping that fire going. It's turned into a symbol not only for our own individual clan group, but it's become a symbol for many other people, not just even in this country, but all over the world, basically. They get to watch a group of people just push past all odds and get to where we are now, where we're in a safe position. I don't see the Queensland government coming in to try and move us anytime soon. That ship has sailed. They've already basically tacit consented. They haven't launched any court cases in nearly 4.5 years now, so it's safe to say that they're not coming to knock on the door. Thank you. That makes me a lot more happier knowing that I've managed to save so many big, big trees out there. And it just makes it worthwhile. It makes you realise that you don't need a whole army with you. You know, you can do it on bare minimum and still manage to save big swaths of land, you know. So it's good to be able to get out of the bush and come and have a yarn with you. It's great to be able to come and share our story and, you know, we're going to continue to live there anyway. That's my home. They've opened Pandora's box and we can't put it back in again and I can't see myself living in society with everybody else anymore. So it's what I'm doing. That's all I really know and I'm going to continue to live there. So at this point in time, we've hit the pinnacle and now it's all downhill now. Dad will explain to you a little bit more of some good news that happened today. Yeah, thank you all for coming, and I really appreciate everyone that has supported us all this way, because it's been a fight that, you know, it is the epitome of a David and Goliath fight. He got bankrupted for 5 federal court cases, and so pushed through that. And then, you know, like a year after coming out of your bankruptcy, you then put another case in against the state. So it's relentlessness and, you know, the consistency and just keep moving forward is the thing that, you know, eventually the state has to recognize that and recognize that we have a right to look after something. Not a right what other people see as a right, whether it's a house or something, whether it's a right to buy and sell. No, this is a right to protect at this point in time. We're the ones that have to speak up for it, because the state and the federal government will allow this thing to be destroyed if it wasn't for people like us standing up and saying, someone needs to do it, someone needs to hold them to account and say, you can't just destroy our river systems and destroy the sucks for the Great Artesian Basin. So a lot of the northern section where I live happens to be a lot of the sucks of where the water goes down right next to the range and then feeds into the Great Artesian Basin. Quite ecologically important and such a special place. Every day I appreciate life and have the ability to wake up in nature. And, you know, it's all for a good cause to show the world that, you know, there's so many bad things happening in this world right now. Just to see somebody or some group, a small group of people be able to make some sort of a little bit of a change is inspiration for heaps of other people. So really appreciate all the support that we've had. And once this is over tonight, I'm heading back up to the bush again tomorrow and continue what we're doing, because the fight never stops, you know. Even if the judge rules in our favour, then we still got to fight against the mining company and their stubbornness. You know, I appreciate all the support, and I'll hand it over to him.
Gorridula. Adrin Barugaba and Gorridula are taking a brand new documentary, Nagana Yabane, The Water Protectors, on tour in March to Naam, Melbourne, Nipaluna, Hobart, Gadigal, Sydney, and Maganjin, that's Brisbane. And if you don't live in the above locations or want to host your own screening, you can register your interest. And the link for that is on the show homepage too. Well, the tour comes at a critical moment, because just last week, the Queensland Court of Appeal handed down a landmark decision restoring the case to protect Dungmabulla Springs from Adani's Carmichael mine. The guts of this is that the court affirmed that the cultural rights of First Nations people in Queensland do not come from statute or government. They come from the law of the land and are deeply connected to country. And when country is harmed, First Nation rights are harmed. And that is first law. And now it's Queensland law too. Well, I'm quoting from the promotion material for this documentary, Nagana Yabane, The Water Protectors. It's good news for Adrin Barugaba. After 2 years of fighting to have their case heard, they're now heading to trial. And their film tour is your chance to hear the story firsthand as they build support for the campaign to protect the Dungmabulla Springs. The film shows their journey from the springs to the courtroom, the community, and then the national stage, documenting an 11-year struggle to protect ancestral waters. And after each screening, Adrin Barugaba will speak about what's at stake as the court case to protect the springs moves forward and why this moment matters in the broader struggle for human rights. All the proceeds from tickets go to support the ongoing legal fight to protect the springs. So check out the links for that on the Earth Matters show homepage. Let's hear it now from the man himself, the senior Nagana Yabane Wangang and Jangalingu cultural custodian, Adrin Barugaba.
I'm not here on this panel for very long, but what information we have and what we want to share with you is something that, you know, you've got to be persistent, you've got to be consistent, you know, you've got to be determined. You've got to, like, when they knock you down and they tar and feather you and they shut you on a donkey and they chase you out of town, you've got to come back fighting. And this is it. That's where I've come from. they had attack dogs chasing after me. And they had tried to serve me like bankruptcy notices wherever I was. I was even sitting out in the street playing the interview. This is how determined they were. We stood in the public gallery in the federal parliament when George Brandis said to the Labor government, it's the Labor government that they want to amend the native toll legislation so that Adani and Zilli were overlined. We've been fighting against every level of government, from the Prime Minister going over to India and shaking Adani's hand saying that he will fix the native title process, to George Brandis saying that it's the Labor government, it's the Palaszczuk government that came to him and said to fix the illegal process, fix that decision-making process, all like going against our decision, going against self-determination. We were, as members of the Family Council, said, no, you can't have that mind. It's going to destroy our sacred site. And this is why I keep doing this. So why do you keep doing this? Why do you want to stop that mine? It's not because it's like a cold and it's burning it and it's affecting the atmosphere. It's because it's going to affect the sacred site, which in turn is going to affect all of us, all of our lives. So this is why we do it. And this is why my son sits out there and communes with nature and is learning more and more about life, how all those things are connected, how those trees are important to the life of who we are, our totem trees, you know, our totem animals. We know these things. So, look, the thing I really want to leave with you today is the landmark decision that's happened in the full bench of the federal court today. And people can just only imagine what it would be like. And people have all these hopes and dreams and things, you know, what you would like to achieve and where you would like to be in the future and what it means for you, like, are you going to have victory over the circumstances? Well, look, we're always hopeful. You know, there's always like a light at the end of the tunnel. And I want to be able to share with you, everyone here today, you're going to have to hear this first. Don't put in the horse's mouth. I'll just read this for you because like, you're going to hear about it anyway tomorrow. But it's better to hear it from us now. Queensland Court of Appeal today has handed down a landmark decision in the case brought by Ngunnawal Yarrabane cultural custodians to protect the sacred Dungmabul Springs from harm from the Carmel mine. The full bench of the Supreme Court of Appeal dismissed the state's appeal and allowed the cultural custodians cross appeal. You heard it. You heard it right here. You heard it. That's it. I'll read it again for you if you like. Look, it's time to celebrate now because, like, we get our judicial review. That's what we get, you know? They try to strike it out. 2 years of this persistent government, previous government and current government, doing everything within their power to try to knock us out, right? Why? Because they didn't do anything. When we told them, when we complained about the contaminations in the spring, they just said, oh, don't worry about those guys. They're nobody. They're not going to do anything. Hello, we're back. Can I read some more? Because it sounds good, eh? So the unanimous decision of the judges restores the Ngunnawal Yarrabane cultural custodian's case in full and sends it to trial. We're going to trial, folks. And what's sweeter here is that the state was ordered to pay all costs. So 2 years, two governments down, and we can finally go to trial. The state has tried everything to shut this case down before the evidence could be heard. They have failed. It's always been about our cultural rights and the rights that have existed all along. And it's not been granted by governments, but inherent to us, we are as the first people. As custodians, we have the right to speak for country and the obligation to protect it. And today, folks, the court has recognised both, that our rights are real and that we can use them to hold governments accountable when they fail to protect their sacred places. That's first law. Now it's Queensland law too. Yes! Watch out, Adani. Folks, you heard it today.
We set a precedence, you know what I mean? I think the Queensland government weren't up for this, you know what I mean? They made a big mistake. They drafted that legislation, the Human Rights Act. They didn't think anyone was going to use it. So, yeah, this is not on the program, I'm sorry, but, you know, this is much better. So this case is a breakthrough. It's the first appellate case decision confirming that the cultural rights under the Queensland Human Rights Act may form a basis for challenging government failures to protect sacred sites. The courts have rejected the state's argument. The court, our court, they're our court now. Anyway, they rejected the state's argument that cultural rights under the Human Rights Act are not freestanding and cannot be independently enforced. In a detailed judgment, the court found that Aboriginal cultural rights do not owe their origin to the Human Rights Act and the Act itself. It cements them as rights recognised by our law. Okay, I don't want to keep going. I just think this is great. Thank you very much, folks.
That was Senior Cultural Custodian Adrian Barragubba. Thank you to Vivian Langford for capturing that at the University of New South Wales on 28th of January. And Earth Matters will keep you updated with the results of the court case. Find out about the Wangang and Jagalingu Family Council's story at their website, and they're on Facebook too.
What an inspiring story.
From little things, big things grow. There is a chuffed fundraiser, Protect Sacred Water, that you can donate to. And the link to that is on the Earth Matters Show homepage, along with all the other links related to this story.
You're listening to Earth Matters, broadcast nationally across this continent via the Community Radio Network.
Come together, heed the call, see the writings on the wall. Action, not just talking. Get your boots on, let's start walking. On the streets you're needed now. There's strength in numbers, you're needed now. Now, not tomorrow. Today you're needed now. There's strength in numbers, you're needed now. I put family first, say, and the kids want me to play, but you can play another day. It's time to rally from what ray. On the streets you're needed now, there's strength in numbers, you're needed now. Now, not tomorrow, today you're needed now, there's strength in numbers. Time for celebrations, for sport and nice vacations. It's time to rally for the future. Bring the family on this adventure. On the streets you're needed now. There's strength in numbers, you're needed now. Now, not tomorrow, today you're needed now.
That's Dallas De Brabander's call to join us in the streets, singing with E Cappella from their CD, You're Needed Now.
You can hear our fearless
beat. Next, a new community collective, the South Coast Action Network. It's a grassroots collective operating on Yuin Country on the south coast of New South Wales. Its purpose is to empower individuals and communities to take direct creative action against oppressive systems that fail people and the environment. For example, SCAN is working to stop native forest logging. I was at the launch of the group. The Milton Masonic Hall was filled with groovers of all ages. I sat by the knitting nana's table with stickers of greater gliders, spotted quolls and koalas, and with leaflets about the current sorry state of our state forests in Australia, now being logged. Then out the back of the hall, I met with an organiser.
I'm here with Possum Blossom at the Masonic Hall in Milton. And it's an amazing evening. There's a new group starting up and it's called the
South Coast Action Network, SCAN.
SCAN, the South Coast Action Network. And what's it for?
So South Coast Action Network is a dynamic and growing grassroots collective organising on the south coast of New South Wales on Yuin country. We strive to empower individuals and communities to take direct creative action against the oppressive systems that fail us and our environment, while building and fostering alternatives rooted in equity, justice and sustainability. We are anti-capitalist, anti-colonial network, grounded in social and environmental justice, operating outside of dominant power structures and alongside other grassroots movements across the nation in solidarity.
So that explains why there's such an amazing vibe in the Masonic Hall in Milton, because this is the startup gig, a little bit of fundraiser, and there's all these amazing people in there, a lot of young people, I must say, as an old person, it's very encouraging. Do you want to say anything more? Have you done anything yet?
Yeah, we've done a few little cheeky actions. Won't say who's done that, but we've set up a banner on the King's Highway coming down from Canberra to Batemans Bay to point out the logging that's happening just right under our noses.
Was that in the Currawong?
Yeah, it was in that area, Currawan Creek.
Mm. And so how do you feel about continued logging of Australia's and New South Wales forests, particularly in the south coast here where you live? How do you respond to it emotionally?
Oh, yeah, I think it's just disgraceful. I think logging is something that has to happen, but I feel like Forestry New South Wales is just doing a terrible job of managing our forests and continuing it to be a sustainable industry for Australia.
Can you imagine this industry continuing in 30 years?
Absolutely not. This industry is completely subsidised by the Australian government, so that's your taxes, and it's running at a loss of millions of dollars every year.
Because I first started fighting this issue about 35 years ago, and honestly, I can't believe we're still talking about it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we're absolutely just running on empty here and just smashing our forests for no gain at all.
It is the most rawest example of what an extractive, colonistic entity Australia is, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Just running things to the ground, just scraping whatever coins you can out of our native forests.
Oh, sad, isn't it? Oh, want to say anything else?
Yeah, I want to say that SCAN strives to be welcoming and accessible, a place where we can learn and unlearn together, build skills and support one another in collective action. We aspire to support the kind of radical action that brings people together to visualise a brighter collective future. SCAN is consensus-based and anti-hierarchical. We are open to all who would like to get involved and contribute in their own way. So whatever issue that you're concerned about, whether that be gender-based violence, Indigenous issues or the housing crisis, you can join us in taking direct action against the corporations and institutions that maintain inequality and oppression in our communities. And together we can build the healthy, equitable and deep-rooted communities and systems that we need to flourish.
That sounds amazing. I'd love to be in a deep-rooted and healthy community system, but like, how do you imagine it? What sort of extra community things would we be doing?
Well, so far we've also set up a community pantry in Milton, and that's just been so beautiful to watch flourish. We're getting members of the community talking to us every day about how helpful it is and how beautiful it is to see community showing up for each other in this way. And yeah, just we don't need to rely on these systems like Coles and Woolies to look after each other.
Are you into doing agriculture together?
Absolutely. I think growing food for each other and for yourselves is a beautiful way to, yeah, get away from these individualized systems of supermarkets. They're not necessary.
So, like, what is your dream? If you could build something and say in 20 years it was there and you were living in it, what would it be like?
I just think everybody, every individual person has beautiful skills to offer. Some people have practical skills and some people have emotional skills. And if we combine that with unity, we can look after each other and survive.
Looking after each other.
Yeah, I think that would be so amazing.
What's the next question I need to ask?
Maybe how people can join. I think the best way to keep up to date with us is maybe follow our Facebook page, South Coast Action Network. And we have an Instagram page as well under the same name. And if you'd like to join our weekly Tuesday meetings, maybe just send a message to either of those groups.
Seeing as how most people who are listening don't live anywhere near here in Milton, what's it been like trying to set up a group like this? How long has it taken?
Well, me personally, I've had this idea for at least 3 years, and it's only just kicked off recently in the past couple of months. And so far, I think we've only done it maybe less than 10 meetings, and so far we've achieved so much.
How many people turn up to meetings roughly?
Oh, roughly there's probably 20 of us.
Wow, yeah. That's such a big vibe. That's more than people go to meetings in Canberra.
Yeah, every week, and we do a big communal cook-up and feed everyone and paint signs. It's a really nice time.
Well, thank you for starting up the South Coast
Action Network.
South Coast Action Network. And there's so many other action networks that there could be out there, South Coast, East Coast, North Coast, left corner of Tassie, all sorts of places. I hope everybody wants to be part of a network because, you know, it's so much more fun if you're with people rather than at home alone doom scrolling, don't you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely, because I feel like this system is designed to overwhelm you with media that's so depressing and so much of it that you feel absolutely powerless. But when you join together with your community, you can actually do stuff about it.
Thank you so much for all your efforts. I really appreciate it. I think a lot of people will be standing beside you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's something uplifting you can join in. Join thousands of people across Australia next March 22nd to demand an end to native forest logging nationwide. There'll be marches in Adelaide, Bega, Ballingen, Brisbane, Canberra, Hobart, Lismore, Melbourne, Newcastle, Perth, Sydney, Ulladulla, and you can find out the details of when and where in each place on March the 22nd at marchforforests.org. You can't make it to a rally? Well, you could sign the Native Forest Declaration calling on the Prime Minister and Opposition Leader and all other MPs in Australia's Parliament to use the Commonwealth powers to protect our nation's native forests and their wildlife. Now, and the links for all this are on the Earth Matters show homepage.
You've been listening to Earth Matters, Community Radio's National Environment Justice Program. If you missed any of today's show, you can find our podcasts at 3cr.org.au/Earth Matters. Or if you're listening via iTunes or any other podcasting service, why not rate us and leave us a review and help spread the word. Earth Matters would like to thank the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their financial support and the Community Radio Network for getting the program out to you. Earth Matters is produced in the studios of 3CR. On Wurundjeri country. If you'd like to get in contact, you can send us an email at earthmatters3cr@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page.
Until next time, goodbye from me, Beck Horridge.